الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Beginning the khutbah of Yuma, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanking Allah Azza wa Jal for having, alhamdulillah, guided us to this way of life. A way of life, alhamdulillah, which frees us from the fear of anything except to have khawf for Allah. That, alhamdulillah, that we have been freed from irrationality about the reality of what this life is. That, alhamdulillah, we praise Allah, Rabbil Alameen, the Rabb, the one that everything relies upon. And alhamdulillah that Allah doesn't rely on anyone. That Allah, alhamdulillah, is self-sufficient. Today, alhamdulillah, we ask Allah's mercy on all of Allah's guides, prophets and messengers, the Anbiya, culminating with the last of them, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cause us, alhamdulillah, to fear Allah as Allah should be feared. This is Surah Ali Imran. And die not except in the state of what we call Islam. I want to back up for a minute though, because sometimes, because we're using words in English, and by the way, this is a great gift from Allah that the Quran is available today throughout the entire world in the original language revealed from Allah through Jibreel alayhi salam to the Prophet Muhammad in the Arabic language. So that there is no doubt about the integrity of the message. You know, they found now, and the British Museum has a copy of the Quran, the Mus'haf, the Quran reduced to writing, and now academics are going through the Quran and they are seeing that the words that you and I recite, whether here or in Timbuktu or in Beijing, wherever it is, that the Quran has been preserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of us. And there are, alhamdulillah, some great benefits for us as Muslims. And I shared with some people the other day that although I'm not an Arab, I grew up in Brooklyn, I grew up raised in a church, I'm a black American, no doubt. But part of all of us, part of us, wherever you come from, you have to have a little Arab wannabe. They call it in slang, wannabe. You're Arab wannabe. Because the Quran, alhamdulillah, is revealed in that language, so you need to have some affinity, some love for the language of the Quran. I love the Quran. And you know, today I'm wearing this, whatever you call it, Subhanallah, in Arabic, abaya. I'm trying to help the English people, right? Abaya, that was given to me by Sheikh Muhammad Al-Hanuti rahimahullah alayhi. So I can't like not think about him today. He said, well, let's look at the words in the Arabic language because they have a deeper meaning than if you say it in English. Because every language has its own connotation. So if you say in Surah Al-Ali Imran in the 102nd ayah, fear Allah. People will say, well, what kind of fear are you talking about? Are you talking about khawf? Have khawf for Allah. This is the kind of fear when you are afraid that there are going to be consequences to the exchange that you're having and that there's danger associated with it if you are not lined up in the right way. This is khawf. But then maybe you could say, well, people will translate have taqwa as fear. Have taqwa for Allah, fear Allah. Sheikh Al-Hanuti would say, no, this is not that kind of fear. This is the kind of relationship where you know that Allah is watching you and you are being very mindful of what you do because you want to maintain that relationship with Allah. Taqwa. I'm connected to Allah through taqwa. It's not the kind of fear like I see a dog, I'm afraid of the dog. Not that kind of fear. It is the fear, the mindfulness that comes when I say, I don't want to be away from Allah. So if I'm doing something that might displease Allah because of my connection with Allah, it keeps me from doing that. Taqwa. Somebody might say, well, what about khushu'? Some people might translate khushu'a as fear. I like to think sometimes, you know, if you have like a favorite basketball player, you have a favorite basketball player, like let's say Michael Jordan, you always wanted to meet Michael Jordan, and one day Michael Jordan comes in the masjid, makes two rak'ah. You say, subhanAllah, Michael Jordan. That you're in awe, you're amazed. When we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will have this feeling, it's like a kind of fear. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا أَنْ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَاشِعَ رَبَّ. You be like, ah, it's Allah. I met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah was pleased to meet me and I was so amazed and pleased to meet Allah and I was a little nervous too by the greatness of Allah. So maybe when we are thinking about different kinds of fear, khawf, khushu', taqwa, to separate that, because alhamdulillah, as a Muslim, I love having those three kinds of fear. But right now in America, many of our neighbors are experiencing another kind of fear. It comes from a Greek word, phobia. Phobia. Phobia is, according to, I went to Wikipedia, they said phobia as a suffix is a technical term used by psychiatrists to construct words that describe irrational and disabling fear. fear as a mental disorder, phobia, an irrational and disabling fear as mental disorder. Many of us, we don't want to admit it sometimes, but we have our own phobias. Now, alhamdulillah, I pray that I don't offend anyone, but there are some people, they have arachnophobia. They are afraid of spiders. There are some of our neighbors, they have xenophobia, irrational fear of foreigners. Maybe some of them, they have what's called Islamophobia, irrational fear of Muslims and Islam. It's irrational and disabling, because the person now has in their mind a certain perspective is not related to reality, but it disables them to act normally. Now, I want you to know Islamophobia is not new. I'm reminded that the Quraysh, they had some Islamophobia in Mecca in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Their reaction, once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam announced that he is the messenger of Allah, people start becoming afraid. They are afraid that it will destroy their way of life. They have an irrational fear of the Quran. The Quraysh, when the Quran was being revealed by the tongue of the Prophet ﷺ to the people, they would warn them, cover your ears, don't listen. Don't listen, because if you start hearing this, it's going to have an effect on you. They said to Rasulullah ﷺ, maybe he is a soothsayer, maybe he's a magician, maybe he's Majnoon. We don't want to listen to his kalam, his speech, because it may have some kind of spooky effect on us. And you know the Quraysh and the Jahiliyyah, they were superstitious. So they had many phobias. How did the Prophet ﷺ handle Islamophobia in his city? The first, alhamdulillah, is by leveraging his personal relationships. You see, you hear about someone and you're afraid of them and what they're about, but then when you get to meet them and you talk with them and you have a relationship, then you say, wow, subhanAllah, that guy is not so bad. And his message, I really understand it now that I'm talking to him, that alhamdulillah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he talked and built relationships with people, that alhamdulillah, it touched their heart. The second, his engagement, alhamdulillah, providing maslaha in the society in which he lived. Now, you know, there are people who will say, well, we are suspicious about the engagement of those people, but then when we find out that really they're sincere, they have ikhlas, they're just trying to help. The people in Yathrib, some of them, they were suspicious about the speech and the ideas of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of them, they came to that place called Aqaba and they met and they described and they discussed, and then they went back and he brought more people back who, some of them were still kind of not sure, and alhamdulillah, through the power of that engagement, they wanted to get the benefit from having Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims to be in their city we now called Medina Munawwara, the enlightened city. The third, alhamdulillah. And this, by the way, we are reminded in the Quran because sometimes it is very difficult to do this. And that is to be steadfast. That through difficulty and hardship and people who are having an irrational fear of you, for you to be steadfast. Inna Allaha ma'as-sabirin. Allah is with the people who are steadfast, patient, perseverant. They continue to do what they are doing, what they believe in, alhamdulillah. And believe it or not, because of your steadfastness, maybe stubbornness in your opinion. I know we don't have much time today. One day I was on Fox News. Bill O'Reilly asked me to say on Fox News, can you say that Osama bin Laden is not a Muslim? This is a very convenient opportunity. You could just say, well, I disagree with what he says and whatever, he's not a Muslim. I'm sorry, I said Osama bin Laden, everybody got nervous. A few people started moving around. Be steadfast. I told him, I said, I can't do it. I never met him. I only know what I see about him on television, on your show. So I cannot excommunicate somebody because of hearsay. I'm gonna be steadfast, what I believe in, my values. Now, as strange as Bill O'Reilly behaves sometimes, Bill O'Reilly said, Imam, I have to respect you for that. Not a lot of millions of Muslims watching this saying, oh my God, how did he say that? He said, I have to respect you. That's integrity. You're steadfast that in Islam, there are rules of how you come to an opinion, and I can't come to an opinion about somebody that is just hearsay. Wallahi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was hated by his opposition, but respected because he was steadfast in his principles and his belief. That, alhamdulillah, if you are then patient and perseverant with that steadfastness, this yaqeen, that, alhamdulillah, Allah will make us successful in this life and in the hereafter. Aqulu qawli hadha, astaghfiru wa lakum. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin was salatu was salam ala rasulil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Ma ba'd. You know, probably if I had my way, Jummah would be an hour. If you go to some other religion, the preacher goes for a long time. Alhamdulillah, you're blessed, you're a Muslim. In the United States, Jummah is half an hour, almost California, Chicago, Miami. Well, alhamdulillah, half an hour. So you will be able to escape in like 8 minutes, inshallah. But not without thinking about how can we challenge Islamophobia. It starts with you and I. Now I can tell you, probably there are five outcomes of da'wah. They say in America, if you watch, play football, I never played football really, but I know about it. The best defense is offense. The best defense is offense. For many years, Muslims have given up da'wah and outreaching to people and saying, you should become a Muslim. They're like, what? No, not now. You should become a Muslim. Muslim is the best thing in the world to be. They said, nah, man, you must be joking. No, really, I'm a Muslim. All my friends are Muslim. My family's Muslim. Muslim is great. And when you meet Allah, Allah will accept you without any interrogation if you say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadan Rasulullah, and then you follow in the right way. That's offense. Alhamdulillah. Five outcomes, effects that we can use to challenge Islamophobia, the irrational fear of Islam and Muslims. The first, alhamdulillah, is the one I could either call it the Khadija effect or the Hamza effect. Radiallahu anhu. These are people, alhamdulillah, because of their personal relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they accepted Islam. They didn't need a whole lot of explanation, a whole lot of reading and dialogue. Abu Bakr said, if he accepts Islam, I'm a Muslim. If Khadija radiallahu anha, she said, if Jibreel came to you and said that, and Waraka says, nobody ever got that message except that they were a prophet, then I'm following you because you're a prophet. This is the first effect. Do you know this happens? Do you know this happens? You look at the history of Islam in parts of the world. If the leader says, I accept Islam, all of the citizens accept Islam. Look in West Africa. Why? Because if the learned people say, this is it, everybody's with it. That's the first effect. And I invite you, find people that you know who are powerful, influential. Become their friend and tell them about Islam. Wallahi, they accept Islam. The hip-hop movement in America, some of the hip-hoppers accept Islam, that's it. The other followers, they start listening to the beat, they say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, we with it. Don't even know what it is, but whatever it is, if he does it, I believe it. The second effect, this effect, alhamdulillah, this is the effect, alhamdulillah, of the uncle and the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They say, if he believes in this, I'm not going to become one, but I'll protect him so that he's free to practice his religion, to do whatever he wants to do under my protection. Because, alhamdulillah, I believe that he's telling the truth. Even if on my deathbed, I don't say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, but I'll die defending him. The third effect I call the Nagashi effect. When you talk to Christians and Jews and others who have been told that Islam is not the truth, alhamdulillah, after you engage with them, the Nagashi said the difference between Islam and what I believe in is no more than a line in the sand. And so the Muslims can have safe haven. They're saying Islam, Christianity, Judaism is all the same. It's legitimate from Allah. The fourth effect, the one I call the Abu Sufyan effect. Abu Sufyan, before he accepted Islam, he said, you know what? I don't like Islam. I don't like Muslims. But I think you should leave them alone. And so when the Quraysh wanted to attack the Prophet ﷺ because they were concerned about their caravan, they wanted to go to Badr, Abu Sufyan, he said, don't go. Our caravan is safe. Leave them alone. I think of Colin Powell sometimes. Colin Powell told, but don't go, you don't want to go. There's no weapon of mass destruction. Leave the Muslims alone. You're about to step into something you don't want. Just leave them alone. You don't have to fear them. The fourth effect, and I'm closing. Fifth effect, sorry. The Abu Lahab effect. This is someone, they hate Islam. They know what Islam is. And they know that it means the end of prostitution, gambling, corruption, lying, cheating, stealing. If Islam ever gets hold in the society, morality and justice will be something that people are striving for. And for that reason, they hate it. You know, the Quran talks about Abu Lahab and says, you know what, no matter what he does, he'll never accept Islam. Never. Here's the good news. That one kind of person, they're a hater. They don't like blacks. They don't like women. They don't like Jews. They don't like immigrants. They're xenophobic. They don't like Mexicans, Hispanic. They hate everybody except them. But gathering the other four, those who say we are Muslim, those who say we respect Islam, those say that Islam is like Christianity, Judaism, and other monotheistic faiths, and the one who says, well, alhamdulillah, even though I don't like it, they have the right to have their religion. Those four gathered together can put an end to Islamophobia. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us among those whom He has guided, to take us as a friend among those whom He has taken as a friend. For Allah to remove the fear from our heart of anything except Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove from us our own irrational fears of things in the society. Know alhamdulillah that whatever Allah has written for us, we're going to have it. Therefore, we can move forward with our reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah azza wa jalla to give us safety, that we might spread the message of La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah until it reaches every house and every home and every heart. Walhamdulillah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on those who are suffering around the world and around the corner. Oh Allah, help us to be instruments of your peace. Ya Allah, help us, walhamdulillah, that we might stand with steadfastness, Ya Allah, for those things that we believe. Oh Allah, we ask that you forgive us, walhamdulillah, for the days when we fear something other than you, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we ask that you join our hearts together, the husbands and the wives, the hearts of the parents and the children. Ya Allah, have mercy, Ya Allah, on our old people, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, grant us rizqun tayyibun, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, those who have passed away, Ya Allah, we ask that you forgive them of their sins, walhamdulillah. Especially our brother who passed away in Ethiopia, Izzuddin Abdullahi. Ya Allah, have mercy, walhamdulillah, on him and all of those who have passed away in your cause, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we ask, walhamdulillah, to strengthen us, Ya Allah, that we might establish, walhamdulillah, your way, the way of your peace, Ya Allah, and your mercy. Oh Allah, we ask for your mercy and peace on the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and on his family and on his companions and all of the anbiya and those who follow the way of your haqq, Ya Allah, until the day of judgment. Ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha, astaghfiru lakum, aqim salat.